11, and we're going to be looking this morning at a very, very important part and aspect of God's work and of His service. Now, this morning, what I want you to do with me is I'm going to give you an opportunity to hold God's precious Word in your hand. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to be able to stand with that. So as you found your place, would you please stand just for a moment in the reverence of the reading of God's Word this morning? Because I believe where two or three or more are gathered in His name, He is in our midst. Amen? God is here this morning. We have a special and honored guest. He has blessed us this morning with His presence. So this morning, let us give back to Him as best as we know how. This morning, look with me now, and we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you find your place there at verse 23. Let's read the Word of God. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, what a wonderful time it is to be here in your house. Thank you, Lord, for Christmas, for the birth of Jesus Christ. And Lord, because He lives, we live. Because He has life, we have life. And Lord, today, because He gave His love, we have love. This morning, Father, would you just bless us? Lord, in spite of our faith and lack thereof, your faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. And this morning, Father, would you prove yourself, show your power and your authority, your compelling and convincing spirit, that God, this morning, we will know that we sat among the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, I ask this prayer. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to look, and I'll give a very simple title of our time together. And it is a Holy Communion. A Holy Communion. This morning, we have came, and we're going to have communion at the end of our service this morning. You will have a time to be able to do the very thing that the Holy Spirit inspired. Not only in the Gospels, but this revelation that was made to Apostle Paul by Jesus Christ Himself, the Bible says in verse 23. He said, For I have received from the Lord. The Lord revealed to him this very important and this sacrament that we're able to be part of today. And we're able to take part in the communion, not only in the bread that represents the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us, but also in the cup. And within that cup was a New Testament made, the blood that represents, that give us the blood that was given from Jesus Christ and for an atonement for our sin. And we get to be able to be a part of that. Man, I'm so excited. I'm so psyched. I'm jacked up. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about the opportunity this morning to be able to come to God's house and have holy communion with Him. Now, see, listen, the way we get excited about that is not because I'm pumping you up. The way you get excited about that is that you take just a moment and you think within yourself, is this real? Is this true? Do I have an opportunity to come? See, why do you think we keep this table up front just to hold offering plate? No, this table right here is a symbolic. It is a symbol for us. And you read across the front, "This you do in remembrance of me," he said. So this right here actually represents, for those of you that's been coming to church all your life and you just weren't sure about that thing that kind of set up at the front, this here is a representation of the Lord's table. And we find in Matthew 26 and in various places throughout the Gospels that this was a table, the Bible says. Let me read that to you so you'll be all too familiar with this morning. So when you leave here, you can go tell your friends and your family and even look in the mirror and say, "Self, I learned something new today." Amen. And we're going to rejoice over that fact. The Bible says in Matthew 26, you don't have to turn there. Let me spoil you this morning by listening to the reading of God's Word. And you don't have to stand this time. All right? So think about this for a moment. "Now, when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. Now, I want to bring out some very serious implications here as I read through this. It is morning time. Amen. Not even. But if you want to be particular and specific, they did this in the evening. All right? But there's also some other things that I'm going to hold you to. You say, "Preacher, why are you having communion in the morning?" Well, that's not necessarily a big deal, okay? I'm just cutting up a little bit. But you're going to find out in just a minute, when he talks about the loaf of bread, there was one loaf which represented the unity of his church. That means we would all take from one loaf. Not already broken, but from one loaf. We come from one body. All right? Now watch this. But also, here's what's very, very neat, and I think we should do it. They drank from the same cup. See, when you read in just a moment when it says, "He drink ye all of it," it didn't mean you drink everything that's in your cup, though you should. We're not asking you to drink a lot when we pass out our fruit of the vine in a moment. But he meant that all of you drink from the same cup. What he did at that supper that night, the very first time it had ever happened. Now, it has been replicated many, many, many times over in various denominations and in various places this communion has taken place. But what happened is they actually passed around the table that day, that night. All of them drank out of the same cup. Could you imagine us doing that this morning? Some of you would boycott church. Amen. Hey, I can see some of you women right now with your sanitizer. Is that cup got there? Maybe in a right for you. Hey, I've seen some of you at the restaurant. Your kids go to sit down at a table for you and you come run across the floor in slow motion. And you pull it off your belt just and wiping everything. We become clean freaks. Amen. Hey, dirt, God made dirt and dirt won't hurt. We need a little bit of germ to build our immune system, mamas. Why do you think the babies are always up at the doctor? Because you're not letting them get one germ that could help build an immune. I'm in trouble when I get home with my wife. But I'm going to preach it while I got chance, amen? Right now I'm in charge, you know. But I'll tell you right now, but they passed the same cup. But let me tell you what that did. Stay with me now. This particular cup, it also represented unity. See, they shared. And everything we do in the body of Christ, we share together. It is not just your gift that is my gift. It's not my gift, but it's your gift. It has all come from one source, so we should all be one. One. So that's what they did, eat from the same loaf and same from the same cup. But this morning, we're going to enable you to do that separately. Can I get amen? Okay. Now, here's the thing. What happens, let's look on, okay, verse 21. "And as they did eat, he said," now this is Jesus speaking, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Just think of it. You've read this 100 times. You've been in 500 communion services. That's great. But don't think you know it all. Learn something today. Watch it. "And it says, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" One by one around the table. "Lord, is it me? Is it me that's going to betray you?" "And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Imagine that. I'd be scared to death to put my hand in the dish. "In fear that the Lord may go at the same time in which would reveal me as the one who would betray." Look at this. Verse 24, the son, that's a pretty good diet plan, by the way. You all these resolutions you're fixing to make the last 2 weeks? Use that verse there for some of your dietary plans, okay? But look at this, verse 24. "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Whoa. That's serious. Verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. And you know what bless means, don't you? It means to give thanks. So we're called when we come to church to bless his name. That means thank him. When you ask the blessing, you are giving thanks to God. I trust you always do, no matter what the setting or who's there. And it says, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And the cup, he took the cup and he gave thanks. This is when it actually happened, okay? What we're reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is a revelation. It is what Jesus Christ showed to the Apostle Paul well after his death. And here it's actually happening. And he gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament which is shed. Do you realize he never says wine? We say wine. We say wine. I'll tell you this. If that bread was unleavened, that wine was unfermented. It couldn't have been. It was fresh. It was new. It represented him, his purity. Not with the age, but now. And it says here, drink ye all of it. That's what I'm telling you in verse 27. When he said, drink ye all of it, he said, all of you drink of it. It did not mean clear your glass. It means they drank from the same cup or Ebenezer. It says in verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink his fourth wine. This is where we get of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Hey, one day, listen, in my Father's kingdom, and I hope you can say my, make it personal, but in your Father's kingdom, he will then drink of the fruit of that vine. Oh, that's going to be good. Amen. But buddy, till we get there, brothers, sisters, brethren, until we get there, we get to take part in this sacrament, in this holy communion. Listen, we cannot get any closer to heaven than through this table. Think about this for a minute. You are sitting. This is symbolic. He wants you to feel that you are sitting at the Lord's table. Earth cannot get any closer to heaven than sitting at the Lord's table. If you come to my house and you want to get close to me, sit at my table. You will find me there. Amen? And the Hebrew word for that is what? We studied that before. The shukkah. We sit at the shukkah. But he said sitting at the table. A.T. Pearson said, the link between the cross and the crown is the table of the Lord. Do not forget, when you sit down at the communion, that the bread and the cup point back to Christ's accomplished work and forward to your accomplished salvation. Isn't that awesome? You know, since we've been saved, you know, this morning I'm speaking to the Christian because I advise you this morning, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should not take part. You should just observe this morning the Holy Communion. Now, we're going to give you an opportunity in a moment to be able to get your life right with Christ, to make sure that you are born again. And if I were you, I advise you to take advantage of that opportunity because you treat it as if it may be your last opportunity. You know what will happen in a little while? Some, after I get done preaching, let me give you a little warning label ahead of time. Some will say, I don't think I'm going to do that because I heard what the preacher read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And as it got later in the chapter, it talked about how I could bring damnation. Do you know that some of our church people today are sick and weak and our prayers have not been effective for them? You know, it very well could be because they took part in Holy Communion at a time in their life, and now they are reaping what they're sown, and your prayer cannot remove that because God cannot be moved. You think about that? They may have been a young kid, as some of ours that sit here in the back today. I advise you, not to scare you, but to aware you, you don't take part in this Holy Communion unless you expect sickness or weakness or even death in your life. It's serious. But he went on to encourage us. He wants us to be participants of this communion. And he wants you to be encouraged today that you should not sit there and say, well, I'm not taking part of that. Do you know what? If you don't take part in this Holy Communion because of your fear of the sickness and of the weakness and of the death of participating in this Holy Communion, you know what that means? That you're not sure about your salvation. You're not sure about your relationship with God. And can I tell you that this sacrament can very well be an early indication of what you're looking forward to in eternity? See, if you don't take part in this communion because of your fear of your relationship with God, do you know that one day you're going to have to stand before Him and it's not going to be across His table, but it's going to be before His throne? And I would much rather conquer my fear here than I would there. See, this is not just a sacrament to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is to prepare you for eternity. Because if you walk out of here and said, I couldn't do it, I couldn't pull the trigger, I couldn't do it because I was scared, then that tells me that you're scared to stand before Almighty God, because above taking part in this bread and this cup, standing in His presence is the most powerful, greatest thing known to man. So we should be able to be partakers in this very, very sacred sacrament. Now this morning, the table points to three things I want to share with you very quickly. The table points to the past. It points to commemoration. Commemoration over 2,000 years ago. What I just read in Matthew 26 was taking place on the night that He would go on to the Garden of Gethsemane and He would be betrayed. And by the next morning, Peter, His key right-hand man that He was going to build the church upon, give the keys to, he would betray Him three times before the sun would rise. All of this being said and done, it is a commemoration. This is a commemoration of the past. What He did. He sat down on the night death was knocking at the door. But yet He sat down and done this. Could He have done this earlier in His three-year ministry? Three and a half year ministry? Yeah. But you know why? Watch this. This is very important. And ye people who want to learn and know about the Word of God, you make note of this. That not only in the Gospels, but the revelation given to Paul, when he starts speaking to the people, as I'm speaking to you this morning, they always connect the communion with the night He was betrayed. You see that connection? The communion. And they always end it, when you look at that verse there in 1 Corinthians, and you look there at verse 23 and verse 24, it says, and the Lord had revealed to me the cup and the bread and the night He was betrayed. See that connection? What they're doing is, because there was no bigger night in history than the night that Judas Iscariot sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver. You see that connection? He wanted it to be remembered. He wanted it to be lasting. This commemoration would never be forgotten or taken lightly. But not only that, but the table also points to the present. This is where we are. This is a communion. The table points to the commemoration, which is the past. The table points to the communion, which is the same thing as our fellowship with Him. See, God wants us to have communion with Him. He wants us to be able to have a relationship with Him. He longs for that. That's what He wants above all things. He wants to see souls get saved. But He wants to have communion with man. And that's how it began in the beginning when Adam was made and drifted into a deep sleep and was completed with Eve. God come to the garden early in the day to have communion. He wants a relationship with that man. He wants a relationship with you. And that's where we live right now. We live in grace. We live after the law. But we live before the rapture. And we live in this period of God's given grace that He can have communion, a relationship with you. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Is He your everything? That's what He longs for. At the brink of heaven's door, behind there sits the Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God. He just wants to have a relationship with you, ma'am. With you, sir. Can you fathom that? I can't, but I want it. And it's amazing how it grows sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. It never ceases. And he never ceases to amaze. But not only commemoration in the past or communion in the present, but we have this to look forward to. The table also points in the future, and it speaks of the commitment that he has to us. Paul, in his revelation, is unlike the Gospels when they make mention of this communion. But he says it in verse 26. Are you in 1 Corinthians? If you would, look there in chapter 11. But look at verse 26. He says, "For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup." Now, this is only found in the revelation given to Paul, okay? It says that as often as you drink from this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Do you live like he's coming right now? Do you actually live your life like that? Boy, I'm going to tell you, we would walk a fine line, and we need to if we're going to get to heaven, because he said the way is narrow. You're going to have to learn how to put one foot in front of the other. You can't just walk around here skip and hop and run loosey-goosey. You got to live like he's coming any minute, because he said no man knoweth the hour. And if you live like he's coming any minute, you'll be ready. And if you're ready, you're going to live ready. You're going to act ready. You're going to look ready. Hey, I told you before, I love when people come to our house. My house gets spick and span, baby. Tell you what, when people call sometimes, you know, the wife says, woo, 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 woo. But boy, when they leave, I'm like, this is nice. You know? But my point is this here. We were looking for someone to come. So it means that everything was clean and ready and dusted and polished and with high expectations. That's how you look for Jesus. So now there's a commitment, but there should be a commitment not only. He has his commitment to us, but it's twofold in this commitment to the future for us to look forward to his coming. Do you know this table won't always last here? Because I remind you, we live in a time of grace. There will be a time that God's people will only sit at his table in heaven. And I'm looking forward to that, because he said, until we become in the kingdom of heaven, that he would not drink of that new juice, that new vine, that juice from the vine, until I see you. He wants to sit around the table with God's people, buddy. Hey, we're going to get to heaven, and there's going to be a big table. And look here, the Last Supper has turned into the Lord's Supper. Well, we're going to have hot dogs. And they're going to be bologna sandwiches with hoop cheese, I'm telling you. It's going to be grand. But you know it, I know we're going to have better than that. But let me tell you what. No matter what we're eating, we'll be able to sit across from the Lamb of God. Can you imagine that? I would just drop dead if I even just begin to fathom that. Fall prostrate at his feet like John did. Because to stand there, listen, my face will now become my eyes. I'm going to be so glad when I don't have to work on my face in an invisible God. But he's going to be all visible. And I'm not going to need no more grace, because I'm going to be standing in his glory. Hey, that's going to be a good day, church. And buddy, listen here, we are to sing to the top of our lungs. Listen, we are to start to spit like the preacher does. Y'all see that a while ago? I'm telling you right now, we ought to get excited. We ought to lose control of ourselves. Hey, we ought to be able just to get up here and people say, them people still drunk from Christmas. That's exactly right. I'm drunk, and I'm drunk on the Spirit. Amen? May God fill us, because like D.L. Moody said, sometimes I leak. And we need a filling. We need to be full. I know you're tired from Christmas. I am too. But I got a responsibility to God. And each and every time I go out, I want God to be able to look at me and say, I'll give you my best today, son. Did you give me your best? And I look at him many days and I tell him, no, sir, I did not. He says, well, if I give you tomorrow, let you rejoice in it and do your best. And that's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. But more importantly, I want that for him. I want him to be able to look at you and say, boy, that is my child in whom I am well pleased. Can you imagine that voice projecting from heaven, from the kingdom of heaven, from the skies above, that he is pleased? So the table points in three different directions. But now let me share with you and advise you and admonish to you this morning what we need to look at. In this passage revealed to Paul, he says the first thing in verse 24. In verse 25, he said, this do you in remembrance of me. You know what he said, church? He said, remember. How many churches have forgot about it? Let me tell you something. A church don't die if God lives. There is no death that you can attach to his name. Listen, a believer who is in the dumps and dying a slow death, you be cautious of whom lives in you, because you cannot attach death to his name. He died once. He will never die again. He liveth, and he liveth within me. He liveth within you. We live, we prosper, we flourish because of him. He says, remember me. But so many people have forgotten the only begotten. He just says, I want you to meditate on me sometimes. He don't want just you this morning in this church just to bring to your mind the remembrance of, okay, he's great and he did good things. No, he wants your mind to become active. Not just to remember, but that you have a mind to become active for him. That it means more than you than anything in this life, And that you remember Jesus. And can you imagine, he gave thanks. This is what blows me away. He took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he distributed it. But imagine this. They were eating supper in the upper. Okay? And all of hell was knocking at the door. Even hell was in the room. What did he tell Judas that night? Before he ever went into the communion, he said, the one who will betray me will stick his hand in the dish with me. He already knew. Can you imagine a God who is so faithful and so sovereign and so full of mercy that across the table, just across the table, he was going to be sold. 30 pieces of silver was enough to trade him. To sell his soul to the devil. But he still sat there and gave thanks to Almighty God. And the shadow of Mount Calvary was casting upon the upper room. The shadow of the cross was hanging over the upper room. Sin was knocking at the door, wanting a sacrifice. But yet he sat there and he blessed it. He thanked the Father in heaven, his Father, for that bread, and he break it and he give it. He did all of that, but all of that on his mind. Then don't sit here this morning and tell me that you can't do this. Don't sit here this morning and tell me that you are not ready. Don't give me an excuse, because on one side was Peter, the one who would deny him. He saw it coming. He knew it. He knew that all his life was worth to Judas was 30 pieces of silver. And he saw the shadow of the cross. But yet he said, before I go, I'm going to implement something in your life, in the church, that I want to be a commemoration a communion and a commitment for the rest of your day. This is not just a time that we roll up to church and we pop the top on a little grape bottle and we throw it back as if it's a cup of water. Oh no, dear friend. You don't take that bread off the top and say, wow, that seems stale or that's just not my taste. Listen, it ain't got nothing to do with what you like. But you think about nothing more than the Son of God. He said, remember me. But he also says, examine yourself. Look at verse 27. We're still in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. He said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. You know what that means? That means if you've got sin in your life. Sin in your life. Now, did you sin yesterday? Yeah, because you're not perfect. You made a mistake. But I'll tell you this morning, if you've got sin in your life, he gives you the opportunity to be whiter than snow. He will cleanse you. He will wash you. Listen, if you're sitting out here today and you're running around, you're having fornication, you're sleeping with her or him, that's wrong. That's sin. You drink from this cup, you'll bring damnation in your life. But look past the Lord's Supper here on earth and think, when you get to heaven, you will only be damned, but you will die a second death in the lake of fire. This is serious business. I'll tell you right now, no matter how good it is to you, that sin, it's not worth it. You need to reconsider. You need to think it over. You need to chew on that a while. Reconsider. But it says that drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord. Of the blood. The blood that saved, that paid the debt, that brought reconciliation and peace between God and man, guilty. And I think that's bad, and I don't get any worse than that, but think about it. If we do this and do this properly, what is the reward? If it brings those serious ramifications, how great is it then when we are partakers? Do we feel the grace of God flood through us? Do we feel a supply from heaven that makes us strong?
I think so.
And he's given this opportunity. Examine yourself. Take a look. Is there someone who you need to give forgiveness to? Won't you release that captive? Is there somebody that you need to apologize to? Release the cat. Is there something that, have you gotten to a place to where you don't even like who you are anymore? You're sick of yourself. Release the cat. Examine yourself. He says, remember me, number one, examine yourself, number two, but he says in verse 26, proclaim the Lord's death. And listen, we're almost there, church. Proclaim the Lord's death. Verse 26 again, for often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, watch this, ye do, and you can underscore this, show the Lord's death till he comes. It's no secret. Hey, you know, listen, you pray for Mike Strickland and his family. He found his father, and his father passed away. And there's some arrangements being made, and I will share them with you, but you pray for Mike Strickland, good man. I thank God for him. I'm just so thankful for him. He's a good man, good family. You pray for him. He's lost his father. Let me tell you something. When we get to a place to where when you have a death in your family, a lot of time we speak and our disposition and our mannerism is, yeah, you know, and it should be. I'm not making light of that. I'm the same way. But the way we deal with death is very meek and very humble and so I'm so. What do you say to somebody in a time like that? But we sit there and we just say, you know, yeah, she died. Or he didn't make it. But in the revelation to Paul, Jesus says, tell them to show my death to the world until I come. It is no secret that we proclaim, we make a proclamation to the world, Jesus died for our sins. And we don't stand around here like it's some secret. Listen, it was awful what happened to him, but I am the reason he died. And we should confess and take that word show. Show the world that he died. And your life, because you have that atonement in him, should show the world that somebody died. And without it, you would not be changed. You would not be the man or woman you are today. You would not have the forgiveness, the love, and the compassion, the mercy, unless he died. But he said, show the world, Church of Corinth. And it's the same for us today. We're no different. We just live in a different time. The Word of God has never changed. Only man has. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's telling the Church of Lebanon, show the world my death. It is no secret. Get the word out. God's Son died for us. And because of that, we live. And because of that, we should show the world. Because I'm going to tell you what, church, time's running out. I invite you to come back tonight. Please come back tonight. Please, God, don't let foot washing run you off. Man, come on. Listen, if you don't like foot washing, you ain't going to like heaven. Because it's going to be a touchy-feely kind of place. There's going to be a lot of kissing and hugging and sobbing going on. Amen? Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, I get to see my grandmama and some of my family when I get there. Hey, just as soon as I see my Savior's face, oh, I'm going to be running around heaven. Where's she at? Where's he at? Oh, there's going to be a lot of hugging and a lot of kissing going on. Hey, it's going to be love. Listen, you ain't got a chance if you ain't got love. It is the greatest of all things, that charity Paul speaks of. And I'm just telling you that because, listen, man, this is going to be a dynamite year for Lebanon Church. This has been a good year, but this year we're going to have a great year. But believing is seeing. I'll tell you, we get ready to remember Him, examine ourselves, proclaim to the Lord. And I'm going to read this as we close, and we're going to have just a moment here. And the way we're going to close is we're going to take part in this communion. But I want to read something to you this morning. Listen to this. When you factor the things in that Jesus required of us, think about this story this morning and see if you can relate to this. Roger Rose faced deep sorrow as a child. His young brother was fatally injured in a tragic accident. A dirt road ran alongside their home, and only on rare occasions would an automobile be seen on it. But one day, as his brother was crossing on his bicycle, a car came roaring over a nearby hill, and he was run over and killed. Roger said later, when my father picked up the mangled, twisted bike, I heard him sob out loud for the first time in my life. He carried it to the barn and placed it in a spot we seldom use. Father's trembled, terrible, sorrowful, eased with the time of passing of time. But for many years, whenever he saw that bike, tears began streaming down his face. Since then, I have often prayed, Lord, keep the memory of your death that fresh to me. Every time I partake in your memorial supper, may my heart be stirred as if it occurred only yesterday. Never let the communion service become a mere formality, but always a tender and touching experience. Tender, touching experience. For us to live our Christian lives, listen, not mourning, not grieving, but it to be as fresh to us as he died yesterday. And you know what he'd tell you right now? If you could hear his voice audibly and the sheep know his voice, Don't mourn. Don't grieve. I'm alive and well. And this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to examine your faith. I'm going to ask this girl to come, and we're not going to sing this morning. This is not about your neighbor. This is about you. Can you look at yourself in the mirror just for a moment? And you know, no matter if God comes back this afternoon or next week or a decade from now, this moment right now, this moment right here will change your life. Because if He comes back this afternoon, you're ready. But if He waits another decade, you will be able to show the world what the death of Jesus Christ really means. No matter what, we are winners in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I'm going to pray, and this is an opportunity for you to pray. Listen, this morning, everything the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now listen, a time of commitment, and this altar at Lebanon Church is always open to you. If it's in the middle of a song, if it's in the middle of a prayer, if it's in the middle of preaching, God speaks to your heart. You come and you pray. Whatever be the need, I open this altar to you forever and always. But this morning, as you examine yourself, and if it's just in your pew where you make that commitment, that's fine. But let me tell you what the Lord expects. He wants you to come forward, kneel before Him publicly, and declare to the world that you're all His. An altar call in a church, a lot of the time it's disguised by heads bowed and eyes closed and music that sounds like we're at a funeral. But it should be just as open and as public as I'm speaking to you. I'm looking and longing for the day when a sinner walks down the aisle and not only kneels right there at that altar, sobbing and crying, but turns around in front of you, and even though they're not a public speaker and never had classes, but they just made a commitment to God and they're ready to shout and tell the world and proclaim Him. So they turn around and listen, let me tell you something. The way you're going to stop some of your ways is for your brethren to be praying for you. For someone to come down here and kneel and confess and say, I'll tell you right now, I've had a problem with nudity. I got a problem with the bottle. I got a problem. And listen, I'm a sinner. But you can either confess it here, or you can confess it before the throne. Because He said every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Do you know if you confess it here, you've already been judged? But you don't have to wait till you get... If you go to the great white throne judgment, just remember this. If you ever sit in front of the great white throne judgment, you're going to hell. No one goes into the gates of heaven after leaving the great white throne judgment. And when you see Him sitting upon the throne, you're going to wish to God you had never been born, and you're going to wish to God you would have confessed it before man. And I will tell you, and let me tell you a therapeutic thing that will help you the rest of your days, and I'm done. If you sit right here and you stand up and you confess to God and you confess to man, let me tell you what you're going to feel accountable. When Jeffrey Hayes came and said he had a drug problem, and he made a confession up here at this pulpit, and he confessed for y'all, think about how many prayers have been lifted up to God because of his drug problem. Don't know his life? He may be slipped up since then. I don't know that. Only he knows that and God knows that. But he's sitting in church this morning because he's accountable to God, and he made himself accountable before man. And when you feel like someone believes in you and is rooting for you, you will live your life different. But if you stay in that dark, cold little place that's miserable for you, and you don't confess it before man, guess where you'll go back to in days to come? Because you never made it perfect. There's a reason. And right now, this is what you have an opportunity to do. Any sin that's in your life, listen, remember, that cup that was passed, that was the New Testament. There's a new relationship. And it's called the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood covers all. You know how bad and rotten and stinking you used to be? And maybe you still are? There's nothing His blood don't cover. No matter where you've been, what you've done, He'll save you this morning. And I want you to take this opportunity and make sure that every vessel in this house, when we leave here, is as white as snow. Nothing's more important than to make sure that you're right with Almighty God. So what we're going to do, I'm going to have you just be seated.